Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Welcome, Doug.
Hey, I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Doug, it's great to have you co-host the show.
Yeah, it's good to be here. What an exciting week we've had so far. I heard Alan Keyes on your show Monday. That was awesome.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
The whole Notre Dame thing. Mm-hmm. And then, oddly enough, he was on Peter Boyle's the next morning.
Did he cherry pick my guest?
I think so.
That guy.
I think his producers are monitoring what goes on.
And then yesterday we did a show called Fighting Irish Catholics and Protestants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
About pro-lifers, Catholic and Protestant pro-lifers who don't want to work with one another.
Yeah.
That was interesting. And we mentioned the Collaborators Project.
Warning, yeah, what are they up to?
They're warning Notre Dame that they're at risk of being designated with permanent collaborator status if they don't rescind the invitation to Barack Obama.
Now, this is the same Collaborators Project that designated the White's Construction Company, one of the largest construction companies in the United States.
Yeah, $1 billion a year firm.
They designated them as permanent collaborators last year sometime.
Last year, a couple years ago, and boy, they have been hit with protests.
Yeah.
Not only in Colorado, where they built the nation's largest abortion clinic.
Yeah.
Abortion facility, mega complex for Planned Parenthood, but around the country, including in Des Moines, Iowa, including in Florida.
Awesome.
And elsewhere, White's construction projects, their clients. Mm-hmm. In Philadelphia, Doug, White's was hired to do a nursing home expansion.
Yeah.
And the board of directors of the nursing home had pro-lifers protesting their homes.
All right.
Their homes. If you hire White's,
because
White's is designated with permanent collaborator status, you are risking pro-life activists at your home.
Yeah. Well, good. It's like hiring the Einsatzgruppen to come and build your facilities. It's like the SS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And White's also. White's employees, their executives especially, get protest.
White's rationale, if I remember correctly, because the collaborators did try to sit down with White's privately.
Oh, they did sit down.
And White said,
with their executives,
if we don't build it, someone else will.
Someone else will.
That was their rationale.
Yeah. They said the same thing about Auschwitz.
I believe, yeah.
If we don't sell them Zyklon B, somebody else will.
Somebody else will.
Right.
Now, is that Notre Dame's? Are they saying that, look, if we don't have Obama on our campus, someone else is going to have him? And then, you know.
They're not saying that. They're just honoring the nation's leading child killer. Barack Obama supports the intentional killing of unborn children. He should not be honored by anyone. Anyone who honors Barack Obama is a child killer. You are a child killer if you voted for him, if you donated money to him, if you defend him, support him, just like anyone who supported Hitler is guilty of the blood of the innocents.
Yeah.
Anyone who supports an open and confessed, admitted child killer is guilty of the blood of these innocent kids.
And Notre Dame is a Catholic university, a Catholic institution.
Yeah.
That at one time in the distant past
was pro-life, was against killing children.
Right.
And today they don't think that's really an issue to divide over.
If it means that you can't have a big time celebrity on campus, they're willing to kind of look the other way.
Right.
Anymore.
Exactly.
It's
and
just
so
sad.
Alan Keyes was arrested there on Friday. They've got a big event coming up there in 2 days. And this Sunday, when Obama's scheduled to speak, there will be protests.
He's speaking on Sunday?
Sunday.
This guy's got some nerve.
On
go
the
to
Lord's
a Catholic
Day.
University and speak on Sunday.
Yeah, and Jenkins, the president of Notre Dame. I mean, just so despicable. So anyway, we did the show yesterday that the Collaborators Project is giving Notre Dame warning of this pending designation.
Uh-huh.
And so lo and behold, what shows up on WorldNet Daily?
Love WorldNet Daily. Joseph Fair and all those guys, Bob Unruh, great bunch.
They're great guys.
Awesome.
We can't forget, I got to make a public apology to Jim from Denver.
Okay. Well,
before the show's over.
Okay, and I've got an email from a listener that we're definitely going
to
want to read.
Jim from Denver, we talked to him last week.
He was
upset about Katrina.
Yes.
the hurricane.
Well, he's actually upset that you are not warning people that America is about to be destroyed. Okay. About to be destroyed, I believe,
yeah,
is the word from Jim.
And he was upset because we thought Katrina was a storm.
Right.
And he thinks it's a micromanaged judgment from God.
Right.
Because of the timing of it.
That was the crux of the disagreement.
Yeah, and I think it was a terrible storm.
It was a terrible storm.
Killed about 2,000 people.
Yeah. The only thing worse about Katrina was the local government's management of the catastrophe.
Yeah.
And eventually the federal government's as well. But,
yeah.
That was a tragedy.
Yes.
That was a tragedy.
Yeah. Okay.
But we'll get to Jim. Now, what's happening on World
Net
Daily?
And I got to apologize to Jim about something, which I did immediately on our website.
Right.
But we'll get to that.
I remember that.
But first,
World Net Daily.
Yeah, we did the show yesterday, and World Net Daily, they must have somebody monitoring the broadcast.
Well, if they're worth their salt, they sure do.
Actually, they did an article, an excellent article, on Notre Dame to be given collaborator status. Abortion opponents say rescind Obama invitation or else.
Cool.
Or else. And it's a great staff article by World Net Daily. I'd like us to share some of it.
Yeah.
I'd like us to read through it. They quote Leslie Hanks, who's an official with the Collaborators Project.
Right.
We know Will Duffy is the founder of the Collaborators Project. And they quote the warning atop the collaboratorsproject.com website. And saying this would only be the second time in history that the Collaborators Project has designated any group with such a status.
Permanent collaborator status.
Yeah, that's right. And that the Collaborators Project is calling on pro-lifers in Indiana and Michigan to add Notre Dame to their regular abortion protest itinerary.
And well-deserved. Well-deserved.
Well-deserved. So the bloody pictures of unborn children would show up on the Notre Dame campus, just like with the White's company, ongoing.
Yeah.
Ongoing.
Just like what happens at White's executives' private residences.
Yeah.
Especially on holidays.
And maybe the president of Notre Dame.
He may get a visit.
He may get a home visit.
Yeah. A peaceful but quite disturbing visit.
Yeah.
I've seen these things happen.
Yeah.
And it's not a pretty sight.
No child killing with tranquility, writes World Net Daily as the slogan, the motto for the Collaborators Project, no child killing with tranquility.
Awesome.
All right. Okay, so Doug, where do we go next?
Well,
before we get to details of that.
Do you want to apologize to Jim or do you want to hear the, I've got an email from a listener of yours that experienced something similar to what I've experienced recently.
Well, go ahead. Do the email
it has
and then
to do with
the
radio.
Apology.
Now, this listener, we'll just call her Dawn, okay, to protect the innocent. She says, I wanted to write and comment on the local Christian radio stations in the D.C. area. For at least 3 years, I have been listening to secular radio with my children. We listened to an oldies station that plays songs from the 60s and up to the 90s. Now, right there, that tells you how old we're getting.
Yeah,
oldies station.
Oldies in the 90s.
Goes up to the 90s.
And it's a little risky listening to oldies music with your kids.
Yeah.
It's a bit risky.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Well, she says, we listen only in the car, so I thought, hey, no big deal. We're not in there for very long. But nothing can open a mom's eyes faster than hearing the words to songs like Secret Lovers and Me and Mrs. Jones come out of the mouths of her children.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Secular music, pop music, isn't a lot of it sexual morality.
Almost all of it.
And alcohol and drugs.
Yeah. Now when you talk about secular pop music and you're talking about from 1950 to 1988, 89.
Yeah.
It's all heterosexual sexual immorality. But now when you start getting into the 90s, it starts getting really freaky. So
your 14-year-old daughter might be just unconsciously singing some sexual request of her girlfriend.
Yeah.
Intended that way by the artist.
Yeah, by whoever wrote the lyrics. She says, needless to say, I went back to Christian radio, which has been for the most part uplifting.
Good for her. Good for you, Dawn.
A few days ago, the hosts, a man and a woman, for the morning show, were talking about childcare, and the woman says that she would never trust her own parents with her children. She doesn't have any. She's newly married. She adds that she thinks Ellen DeGeneres would be the perfect babysitter.
No, come on. This is not Ellen DeGeneres?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Is that really her name?
Now,
Ellen
wait a
DeGeneres.
Second. She switched back to Christian radio And the host
and
said,
the Christian
Ellen,
host said, I wouldn't trust my own mom
with my children,
babysitting my kids, but I would trust Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres. Now, Don points out that this host doesn't actually have any children.
No.
No, obviously.
Thankfully.
Thankfully, she doesn't have any kids yet.
But
she needs to.
Hopefully, she'll grow up.
She needs to mature a little bit before she has any kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, Don says, my 14-year-old knows who Ellen DeGeneres is and immediately said, ew.
Well, good for Don's
kid. And so Don says, now I remember why I stopped listening to Christian radio.
Yeah, it's frustrating, huh?
Oh, man.
All right, anything else from Don?
Well, she says, the hosts on this particular station, Christian station in the D.C. area, are basically blithering idiots. I guess it's
kind of harsh. Isn't that mean?
Well, Don's not afraid to judge.
No.
It's not mean. It's judgmental, though.
All right.
She says, I guess it is in style to banter over the airwaves. My biggest pet peeve is their positive thought for the day, which, of course, is never scripture or even scripturally based. It's always some kind of Freudian doublespeak, some clever little remark this young woman has taken the time to Google. And she, Don tells us that there's... their station motto is, quote, safe for the whole family, unquote. And Don says, really? Wish you were on the air here, Bob.
Well, thank you, Don, very much for that uplifting. Was that uplifting?
That was
uplifting. Thank you for that update.
It was an update, that's for sure.
It was an update about Christian radio in the D.C. area.
Well, that's nothing, Bob. Now, just briefly,
yeah.
I purchased a new vehicle a year and a half ago, around Christmas time, and it came with the satellite radio already on board.
All right.
Within 10 minutes of driving down the road with my 6-year-old daughter in the car, I realized that I can never listen to the satellite radio ever again.
Right.
Totally out of control, wickedness, while they're playing Christmas songs, mind you.
Mm.
Profanity right over the air.
While
they're playing Christmas songs.
They figure that's what you want to hear.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
Between White Christmas and Oh Holy Night.
Right.
You want to
hear some profane rant from long-haired, maggot-infested FM Howard Stern wannabe type on XM radio.
And,
just unbelievable.
You know, the culture, we've got the new Star Trek movie, which I'd like to take my kids to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
You're not.
I'm not going to go see it.
You're not.
We have Clear Play at home, the DVD.
Right.
And you could set it to watch a movie, and it will remove any profanity, any even sexual innuendo.
Oh.
It'll remove that stuff.
Interesting.
And, it's sophisticated. It's done very well.
So with most Hollywood movies today, you would never understand the plot.
You get the credits. You get the opening title screens and the credits.
Right.
That's about it. But with Star Trek, we go to screenit.com. There's also Christian sites.
Right.
And they've got any number of scenes where the normal cast members, like the females, are undressing. And Captain Kirk, who's young in this one,
is
hiding under a bed or in a closet peering through the slates. And he's watching the female cast member undress.
Uh-huh.
And he's on top of one where he's in his underwear, she's in her bra and underwear, and they're making out. And, there's a few scenes like that in this movie. And that's for kids.
This is for kids.
This is for kids. This is one reason why I have a seething hatred for Hollywood.
Yeah.
And Disney.
Well, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
So this is a...
EarthToDisney.com.
EarthToDisney.com. So this is a prequel that explains why Captain James T. Kirk became such a deviant later on in Well, I don't...
Could we bleep that?
Yeah, let's...
Let's
that.
Bleep!
Now,
okay,
I'm
bleep
saying
that
the Captain
did he,
Kirk...
Did he...
No. She was...
Could you bleep that too? Bleep!
He did enable... But I don't know
that
he was directly responsible in the sense of...
No.
Of actually... But I'm talking about Captain Kirk.
Oh.
You remember Captain Kirk? It seemed like every episode Captain Kirk was running off with some alien woman.
Right.
And now we know why.
Just like Colonel Hogan.
Oh, yeah. No, let's not go there. Colonel Hogan. Now, let's get to Jim. You need to apologize first for mentioning Colonel Hogan.
Doug, before I apologize to Jim.
Yes.
James Dobson interviewed Miss California.
Oh, yeah.
On his show yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, this gal, she is being held up as a Christian hero.
Yes, she's the new conservative standard bearer.
She's the standard bearer. She made the decision. It was that moment, and she decided for God.
That's not the way I described it on my broadcast.
Well, that's how it aired yesterday in 2,000 radio stations. But anyway, if I understand the story, she was asked during the Miss America pageant owned by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
She paraded out around on stage in threads.
Yeah, wearing dental floss, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like all the other women.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was asked by someone, I don't know who
he was. A vile, vile sodomite named Perez Hilton.
Okay.
Vile. Disgusting.
He said, do you support homosexual marriage?
Right.
And she said, I'm very glad that in America we have states where gays can be married. But as for me personally, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
Right.
So today we know that it's a qualification to be Miss America. You have to be pro-sodomite.
Yes. Absolutely.
And even pro-homosexual marriage.
Well, that, and I believe that it was proven because she did not attain the crown.
Right.
Right.
So anyway, so her answer was a bit bewildering.
A bit bewildering.
If she said it's good that in America that homosexuals have freedom to marry, but personally,
yeah.
It's like when Hillary Clinton says, I'm personally pro-life.
Yeah, exactly.
That means you're officially a child killer.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're officially pro-sodomy. So anyway, so I don't know if she would support or oppose California's Proposition 8. Because she said, I'm personally for marriage between a man and a woman.
Right.
Maybe by that she only means if she ever married, it would be to a guy.
I think that's what she means.
But she was proud to live in a nation where states allow homosexual marriage.
You can choose gay marriage or straight marriage.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah. So
she's glad.
So that's just beyond, right?
Yeah.
And then she was at risk of losing her crown, apparently because she violated the standards of even the Miss America pageant,
mm-hmm.
in that they have these women parade in threads,
yeah.
but they're not allowed to take pictures, pornographic pictures.
Right.
And some semi-pornographic pictures of her surfaced.
Yes, they surfaced.
It wasn't outright pornography. It was a virtual pornography.
Designed to entice men to think about sex with someone besides their wives. That's what the pictures that were taken on purpose were meant to do.
Right.
So I don't know if she's aware of that.
So anyway, I don't quite get this. Miss California is a role model of a Christian who's standing up for righteousness.
Well.
I don't quite get that. And then she stated that she didn't even mean anything by her answer. She didn't have any position she's maintaining. She was just cornered by the question.
Right, at which point Donald Trump rightly pointed out that she gave basically the same answer that Barack Obama gave.
Yeah, right.
With a similar mindset, I'm sure.
Exactly.
I had to answer something.
Exactly. So how is any of this an example of Christian leadership?
Well,
you want your daughter to... I don't know.
No, we don't. But you know what? I think that unfortunately...
But nowadays, that passes.
It's, you know, conservative thought and talk and editorializing has descended to the secular level. There's no spiritual maturity involved anymore.
And a pop psychologist would think, hey, here's a good role model.
Yeah.
Because she's half naked. She thinks homosexual marriage is okay. But you could have your own private preference.
Right. And isn't that what the liberals want of the Christians, is to just take your beliefs and stay in the closet with them?
Yeah. So I don't get her
as
a Christian.
No, I don't get that at all. But I know why it's such big news. It's because she's good looking. That's all.
Right.
And the conservatives like to drool over, and it's just sad.
Okay. All right.
They should be a little bit more mature.
Yeah. Okay. So now, Jim.
Let's get to Jim.
Jim was very upset because we ignored his emails and letters saying that Katrina... God is about to destroy America.
America is on the verge of destruction, and your failure to warn the body of Christ, Bob, it shows that you simply are not in touch with the spirit of God.
What if the Lord doesn't come back during our lifetimes?
Well, now, according to Jim, that's impossible. Well, no, maybe not that's impossible. America will be destroyed in our lifetime.
How about China?
China? They're pretty bad over there. They're atheists. Well, they have a one-child policy. They slaughter children.
Like, will they be destroyed? They're enemies of Israel, right?
They are enemies of Israel.
How about Russia? Will they be destroyed?
Russia's big-time enemies of Israel. Actively sending nuclear stuff and weapons to the Arabs.
Right.
They're pretty bad.
Yeah.
I would think that Russia would be ahead of us in the list of to-be-destroyed
nations. Yeah. So let's say the Lord tarries through our lifetimes.
Right.
Will China... be destroyed. Would that mean that they're going to disappear? Is China going to go away?
Well, I don't see China going away.
They're not going to go away.
No. They're not going to go away.
Is America, like, what does it mean? Our families are being destroyed. Our churches are crumbling,
mm-hmm.
right? And our prosperity is being squeezed because of our immorality.
Yeah.
And so what does it mean America's going to be destroyed? Does it mean everyone in the country will be dead? Does it mean the government will go away? If so, I'd celebrate. If the government went away, I'd celebrate.
It'd be time for a new birth.
What does it mean? Does it mean everyone will be killed? Does it mean some will be killed, half will be killed? There will no longer be an America? Is that what it means?
I'm not sure.
I don't know even what it means. But if I ask Jim for a time frame,
right.
There's no time frame coming. So it's this special knowledge that God is going to destroy America,
yeah.
but there's no accountability. He says he gets these things from some woman.
Oh,
some
really?
Woman tells him that God said.
So it's on her, I guess.
Yeah, and thus saith the Lord, it is now time to tell Bob Enyart XYZ.
Okay. And this
now,
is...
It's just weird to me.
So there's a prophetess in between Jim and the Lord.
Yeah.
So it's obviously going to be her responsibility if the prophecy fails.
Yeah, and I asked Jim, I said, Jim, you know, in the Bible, God had a system of accountability. If the prophet said, thus saith the Lord,
right.
and it did not come to pass, then you are to stone the prophet with stones.
Until he is dead.
You know, God assumes that people are a little dense.
So he says
so he doesn't them. Just say stone the prophet.
With stones.
Stone the prophet with stones until he dieth.
Just to be clear.
So today, this prophet, whoever Jim is referring to, she's an unnamed prophet, and there's no accountability.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what, when, anything could be said in the name of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and even among Christians, there is simply no accountability.
Right.
And I'm not asking Jim to stone this woman.
No. No, we certainly wouldn't want
to. When it turns out that she's wrong. I'm
right.
not asking him to do that. No.
But now, you do need to apologize to Jim, because there was a slight misunderstanding on the air.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah. So there was a minor misunderstanding when Jim was reading some scripture.
We asked Jim to call in because he was just beside himself with anger over our belief that Katrina was a storm.
Right.
That it was a storm.
And it happened by chance and the amalgamation of weather patterns and things like that.
Yeah, and so Jim called in, and the title of that show from last week is Jim from Denver, Now Even More Upset.
Yeah.
That's the title. And it starts out, the show summary at kgov.com, Bob apologizes to Jim.
Right.
Correction. Bob apologizes to Jim. And Jim, if you're listening right now, I do apologize to you. I am sorry. Bob apologizes to Jim for thinking that as a caller that Jim had not read the word whisper when he was reading Romans 1:29.
Right.
Remember that? Romans 1:29 has a list of murderers
yes.
and kidnappers and
sins
and debaters.
Yes.
And
debaters,
whisperers.
Whispers, yeah.
And I didn't hear. I think I was looking up the verse as Jim was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the verse and I read it, I see the word whisperer.
Right.
I said, Jim, did you read the word whisperer? Because I thought that would make the point to Jim without even belaboring it.
Because Jim's point was you can't debate because that's sin. And it's right here in this verse.
Right.
Right.
Even though there are many debates in the Bible.
Any.
You know, there are debates in the Bible. And debate, the Christian homeschool groups that have debate conferences,
mm-hmm. yeah,
they're not inherently sinning.
No, not inherently.
No, debate is a good thing.
Yes.
When it's done honorably to honor God.
Come, let us reason together.
Yeah. And so I thought that if Jim saw the word whisper, he would intuitively realize that not every whisper is a sin.
Of course.
Sometimes the still small voice
mm-hmm.
is the best one.
It is.
But if the whisper is designed to hurt, to secretly, quietly, stealthily hurt someone,
right.
then the whisper is a sin.
Of course.
So I said, Jim, did you read the word whisper?
And Jim wasn't sure because, you know, you're on the air, you're reading.
He wasn't sure. And that's okay. He wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure either. And so I assumed he missed the word. And my main point was when the Bible warns against debating and whispering in a group of sins, by the way, the New King James says strife, not
right.
debating,
mm-hmm.
that's in the context of trying to do something immoral.
Right, something to undermine righteousness.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like Jesus said, he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword to divide.
Right.
And so debating, strife is bad, but sometimes division is necessary.
Has to happen.
So, Jim, you love the Lord, Jim.
It's we know Jim loves the Lord. I can tell that.
And we love the Lord.
Yes.
I love the Lord.
I love the Lord.
Doug loves the Lord.
Amen, brother.
I love Doug.
I love Bob. Preach it, brother.
And we love Jim.
Yeah, we love Jim.
And but we disagree over Hurricane Katrina. I think it was a storm.
Yeah.
But I do apologize that I thought Jim, when I asked him if he said the word whisper and he wasn't sure.
Right.
I thought maybe he skipped it.
Yeah, well.
I didn't say he skipped it on purpose.
No, no.
But
you know,
I was thinking that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because how could you read that word and not realize your whole point is confused?
Exactly.
I don't know. All right. So
anyway, God bless you, Jim. Keep listening.
Yeah. So now, do we have a few more minutes for Notre Dame?
I want to
go
ahead. You want to do? You want to? No, we only have a couple of minutes.
No, in Boston.
Literally. Boston. Just an update from a story I did on the weeklyworldview.com. The transit official.
Yeah.
The trolleys hit each other. You remember?
Yeah.
He was texting. His girlfriend.
He was texting his girlfriend. Didn't you say on your program, by the way, Doug, not everybody knows. There's a link to it at kgov.com.
Yeah, theweeklyworldview.com. Go there and subscribe.
But, yeah, not everybody knows that Doug McBurney is back on the air.
Yes, I've had a low profile as I'm trying to get back on that horse. It's not easy getting on the air.
Theweeklyworldview.com.
Yep.
The programs are there. People could subscribe
people
to the podcast.
People can subscribe to the podcast. People can listen. I covered this story about the trolley driver.
Yeah.
The transit officials want to ban trolley drivers from carrying cell phones now, which is ridiculous.
When the story first came out, he was texting his girlfriend.
Right.
I think you said maybe they should ban girlfriends.
Ban girlfriends, wives, husbands, any social relationships, maybe even keep these guys in a cage until it's time to drive.
Yeah.
Well, little did I know.
Little did you
turns
know.
Turns out that this particular driver, trolley driver, was hired as a minority because of his transgender status.
No, come on. Come on.
So now we don't know. Boyfriends, girlfriends, do you have to ban? You don't know. I don't know what to ban. And when they say it's his, do they mean that he's actually a guy or are they referring to his actual biological DNA?
Well, if he was actually a guy, they'd call him a she or her. So because they're saying his, that tells us he's obviously actually a girl.
So it used to be a girl.
Yeah. But, you know, some transgenders are not quite sure what they are.
Yeah.
And I don't know the appropriate pronoun to use. He, she, or it.
I think
this is confusing.
It covers it. It works. I'm going to stick with it because it gets so confusing as you read through the story.
Yeah.
He was texting his girlfriend, and you're wondering, you know, you're so confused halfway through the story, you just don't know which way to
go. So it was a she who's now says it's a he.
Well, no, he had to submit documents confirming a gender change for his minority status to be reflected in official. That's how he got the job. He proved that he was.
So the bottom line is it's a female homosexual.
Right.
So it's a FOMO.
It's a FOMO.
It's a FOMO.
So the pronoun will be it.
So it's a woman who's with another woman and texting another woman.
Apparently.
And putting all these people at risk.
It's just sad. And the driver did suffer a broken wrist in the crash.
But don't start a sentence with and or but.
Right.
Public school pledge. God bless you guys.